helping realtors on Vancouver Island stay connected, current, and on the cutting edge. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Here's your host, Braden Wheatcroft.
Good morning, everyone. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Braden Wheatcroft, and I'm coming to you live on Facebook from beautiful downtown Sydney, or Sydney by the sea, as many of our agents call it here. We have a great interview for you today. I'm going to be chatting with one of my good friends and colleagues with Richard Robbins. He's a realtor out of Toronto. And what we're going to be talking about today that is really unique, what he's been able to do is in a very short amount of time, we're talking less than 6 years in a real estate career, he's been able to position himself as a go-to thought leader in the real estate market. I don't know the exact number of media interviews that Tom Story has done, but if you just go on his website and check it out, you can see interviews everywhere from CBC to CTV, Global News, the Financial Post, the Toronto Sun. I mean, this guy is all over the place. So today we're going to try to break down exactly how did he get that reputation in the media market, and then what are some of the things that he's been able to do to position himself both proactively and reactively to those opportunities. We're also going to talk about how he manages his nerves, or if he has any. If he doesn't have any, I want to know what he's drinking, and some other stuff. So with all that being said, I want to bring on Tom. But before we do that, I'm just going to do a quick read of his bio. So Tom originally went to the University of Guelph and graduated with a degree in sociology. He got into the real estate industry at the age of 22, which is quite remarkable. After 3 short years in the real estate business, he actually started a real estate team, the Story team. And now 5 years into this career, he's in the top 3% of realtors in his market area. And he was recently rated one of the top 100 agents under the age of 35 by the Real Estate Professional. I mean, geez, if they did a report for agents under 25, he'd probably be number one on that list. So with all that being said, please join me in welcoming my good friend, Mr. Tom Story. Tom, buddy.
That was amazing. I actually would like if you could just, before I have a buyer consultation or a listing presentation, if you could just lead me into the room and do that, I think my success rate
with like the horn,
or just like even a recording, I could just sit down and play before I start talking. I think that would really help.
We should look into a hologram.
Yeah, that's perfect. No, I'm up for it.
Well, you know what? I thank your mom for sending me your bio. It's really well written. I think she nailed it.
I mean, she did most of my homework growing up, so at this point, I figure there's no difference.
Okay, let's keep our ADD under control here and get down to business. So, first of all, thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it. I'm pumped to have this conversation with you. I think what you've been able to accomplish in such a short amount of time is remarkable, and I know I'm not alone in that. So, but first, I want to ask you, so you got into the business at 22. Mm-hmm. I understand that you actually wanted to get into the business at the ripe old age of 18 and your parents wouldn't actually let you. Is that true?
It is true. It's not so much that they said like absolutely no, but I think they made the right decision. I grew up in a family where my father was in education, my mother was in sales, and I would hear my mom on the phone all day long, and she should have been in real estate. It would have been what she would have done if she was in real estate would have been amazing. And I kept seeing that. I was like, you know what? That's what I could do. I don't know if I love anything at this point in my life. And I actually worked kind of like a summer job in high school with my uncle. And what he would do is he would go into people's homes and he would hang TVs and set up the media units. And we did this home in the Beaches area of Toronto, if anyone knows that area. And I helped him do it, and the guy that owned the house came home and walked around, and he just kind of had this way about him, and I don't know why. I was like, hey, what do you do? And he's like, oh, he owned a Remax office in the Beaches in Toronto. And at that point, you know, I was probably like 17. I was like, you know what? I can do this. My mom's in sales. I can learn how to do this. So when I was 18, I decided, you know what? I'm going to get my real estate license. And I was told very quickly, no, you're not. Which I think was a good thing. Truthfully, if I'd started at that age, I would have failed. I don't have family actually in the business that I could have joined a team or something like that. I think I would have been too young. So I went away to University of Guelph. I grew up there. I think I learned how to learn there. And I made so many connections there that are now in my business partner, a lot of the clients that I work with that I met there, that I think it all ended up working out. And jumping in at 22, although still young, Being 4 years later, I think was a huge factor in being able to get where I am today.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a great foundation. I'm not sure that I agree that you wouldn't have been successful, but it sounds like the experience served you really well. Now, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to, or the reason I invited you on the show today, is because you've really garnered a reputation in the real estate circles as someone who gets a lot of media exposure. And, you know, we spend so much time on social media and marketing trying to get our message out there. I mean, we know how expensive, you know, outdoor media is, whether it's bus benches or billboards or things like that. And yet my understanding is a lot of the media or all of it, like, you actually haven't paid for it directly. So you've been able to get massive amounts of exposure. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I wouldn't have been able to afford the type of media that I've gotten. I don't get paid to do it, but I absolutely don't pay to do it either. It all started basically 2.5 years ago. I was earlier on in my career. I would send out my monthly reports to my clients, and I just kept seeing the click-through rates would go down. It was text. I was sending them stats and numbers and graphs and things that I really like to look at, but the feedback just wasn't there. So I thought, you know what? I haven't seen any realtor, at least in my marketplace, film a monthly real estate video. So I started that. I called it the Story Report. The first one was terrible. I was in my condo. There was terrible lighting. The sound was bad. It's amazing to see from where this all started to where it is now, what's happened in, frankly, a short period of time. Then, it comes down to, okay, so you have to do something on a consistent basis to make people understand that not only are you good at what you do, but you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't care if you're the number one realtor in the world. If people don't know that's what you do, it's not going to matter. They're not going to call you. So this is how I looked at what this monthly video series would be. Not too much different from this show that you're doing. So right. It started with that. And then the real estate brokerage that I work for in Toronto had reached out to me saying, hey, we see that you can talk in front of a camera. So I showed them that
even though you claim your first video was not good.
It was definitely not good. I'll send you the link. We can post, we can attach it after. It was not good. Like, maybe at least compared to what we're doing now, I didn't think it was that great. But I showed them that I could. If I had never have done that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I consistently did that over and over, and my brokerage saw it and the upper level management saw it. And then when these media opportunities came up, they thought, you know what? This guy's young, but he knows what he's talking about. And he won't crack under the pressure of being on live TV. So that's kind of how it all started. And it's been a little bit of a whirlwind since then.
So do you remember your very first media opportunity?
Yeah, it was actually, it was with the Toronto Star. So I started by doing mostly print media.
Just some little ragtag magazine, hey?
Yeah, yeah, Toronto Star. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's heard of it. Started with them. And what's funny is when I started doing my media, it was when it's really started happening was right when fair housing came into the Toronto real estate market, which for people in Vancouver, you know, watching and listening was, you know, we stopped. Everything started going down after that. Our market really corrected itself. So I was pushed into the media at a point when the stories and the headlines were not necessarily positive. So I had to be able to talk to them and really let them know what was actually happening on a ground level. Because if you just read the headlines, you'd think the world was falling at that point. So that's how it all started. And over a period of time, when you're talking with the reporters, I think, you know, we'll get into this a bit more later, but, you know, have a real relationship with them. Don't just give them these robotic answers. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about what you know. If you don't know the answer, that's okay. Like, tell them that and you'll move on to something else.
Yeah, you mentioned just a few minutes ago about how you really couldn't have afforded the amount of exposure that you've been able to get through these various media opportunities. I mean, your first one was in the Toronto Star, a very large newspaper with still very strong readership. Mm-hmm. I imagine they have a strong online component as well. It's probably stronger than their actual print side. But you've also had a ton of video coverage as well, like live interviews. I've seen them do special pieces as well that, you know, showing homes. And I think you did a piece on the value of home staging or something mm-hmm. like that, which was really cool. So I want to ask the question that might seem like the obvious answer, but what has this actually done for your business in terms of getting that much exposure?
Yeah. So when it first started, I was actually nervous in a weird way, not about actually doing it, but I was like, this is going to bring on so much business. I don't know if I'll be able to handle it. You know, when the staging video that I did with the Financial Post, that was posted online, that got over 100,000 views in the first few days. And anything that I could have produced on my own would be nowhere close to that. And I kept thinking, you know, my phone's going to ring off the hook. Like, people are going to look me up. This is going to be amazing for business. And what I think a lot of people watching will find kind of interesting is that hasn't actually been the case. But I think what it comes down to is people don't pick realtors because of their bus bench, because they necessarily saw them on TV. You're still picking someone because of referral. It's repeat and referral. So my clients absolutely love this. Within the real estate industry, the respect level that I've been given has definitely gone up. But for the stranger watching me on TV saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to call Tom to sell my house. It's happened, but not as much as I thought it would. But I think that's actually that's something that's really important, because for me, not having to pay for these opportunities for what, you know, a lot of people put into their marketing and really seeing the return, it just made me recognize where I should be spending a lot of my time, which is with my real database.
Yeah, it gives you that social proof with your database. It's you know, instead of them driving by and seeing bus benches or bus shelters with your name on it, they're seeing you online or they're seeing you on the news, which is, I'm sure they must go crazy for it. Now, you shared a story with me earlier this week about a client that actually got to go into one of the media spots you did. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? You're showing them a house and then you did a little thing afterwards.
Yeah.
I like to call it delivering the unexpected Richard Robbins. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a piece with the Financial Post, and what they want to focus on is, you know, with the new stress test that came in at the beginning of 2018 and the three rate hikes that we've seen, how have the millennial generation become creative to buy a home, right? What are they doing? And so they wanted to talk to me about, you know, what I was seeing, the things that they were giving up, the things that they absolutely need to have. And they wanted to interview a few of my clients for it. So one of my clients, Patrick, he had just bought his first property, and he got in the Financial Post article, and he was the main cover photo. You know, he's wearing a suit. He looked great. His sock game was off the charts. I'll send you the picture. Like, it was a great photo. And the article, you know, I was quoted in it. He was quoted in it. It was something that was really cool. But as we know in today's media, this was not printed. He couldn't get this in the paper, so he couldn't have an actual... He couldn't have it. It was just an online, you know, he'd take a screenshot of it, right? So what I did is I thought, you know what would be kind of neat? I contacted my design department. I sent over the article. They took it, they pieced it together all nice, and I got it framed for him and sent it over. I actually had it couriered directly to his office that day. And I can't reveal what he said to me in the text because I don't think it's appropriate, but he was very excited. And no joke, maybe 2 to 3 hours later, I got an email from him introducing me to someone else in his office that was looking to buy a property. So I didn't do that because I was looking for a referral from him, but, you know, something that Rich, and I'm sure you and most of your viewers know is, you know, when you give, people want to give back. It starts the process. Yeah. And that's just a neat little thing that happened. And the clients love the media, and if they can be a part of it, like, what a cool opportunity for them, right? So I'm happy to continue to do that. Hopefully I can continue to do things like that produce cool results.
Yeah, you created a remarkable opportunity by sending that. That was pretty amazing. And the referral right around that, like, within hours of him receiving that, it's pretty cool.
Within 2 hours, I got an email, an introduction email. And it's funny how things work, right? It all comes back to being top of mind. Right.
Absolutely. Well, so speaking of top months, I just want to circle back. So just to clarify, you're saying that the result of the media coverage that you've received has reinforced your brand with your clients, with your database, and hasn't actually brought, you know, cold business strangers to you to the same degree you thought. It sounds like a few, but not, it hasn't filled your whole business pipeline up with a number of strangers calling you, but it's been great for your own people.
The overall effect of it is still massive, right? Like, I still cannot believe the type of opportunities that I've been given to this point, but the actual cold business coming from it is a lot lower than I think. It's a piece of everything, right? It's a nice piece to have and to validate that when you're going to work with someone, they know who you are and that you know what you're talking about and that you're competent in helping them making the biggest decision of their life, right? And I think it's helped with that. And my clients love the opportunity to introduce me to their friends or family and say, hey, this is Tom. Oh, he's on CP24 on the time. He's on the news, right? So it's a unique thing. And, you know, we'll talk about this more, but your friends and family and colleagues, they want you to do well in this scenario. Yeah. And it's not taking it for granted and really working hard at it.
Well, I can't wait for all your friends to start introducing you. This is Tom. He was on the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show.
Oh, that's what's
unbelievable.
Yeah. I actually want a card for when I come to Vancouver next week. Just say I was on the show.
For sure. And yes, that's perfect. Now, a lot of us in the real estate business, I mean, we're familiar with different forms of lead generation. We're familiar with how we work with clients, how we negotiate all that. They don't really teach us anywhere in realtor school how to do a press release or how to be on the media. So can you walk me through, like, assume I know nothing. Mm-hmm. How do you get the opportunity to begin with? Like, is it, do you put your name in a registry to say, hey, I'm open to comment, or is it just luck of the draw? Like, walk us through, you know, the milestones in a opportunity like that.
It starts with, no matter what, it is making yourself available, not just, you know, physically available to go do it, but making sure that they know that you exist and that you know that you know what you're talking about in that marketplace. So I think that's number one. You have to have some kind of podcast, Facebook live show, monthly video, blog, whatever it is, that you have to have an opinion on what's going on, because why would they call you if you didn't? Secondly, there has to be some type of connection. So, you know, it doesn't hurt if your company has a PR department that can at least get you the initial connection. And then when the opportunity comes, and I think this is the biggest thing, because at some point throughout, you know, everyone's real estate career, they'll at some point someone's going to ask them for a quote on something, whether it's a small magazine or a big news organization. Make yourself available. They have a roster of 2, 3, 4, 5 people that if I say no, I'm not available, they're going to move on. And if that happens, they might not call me back again. So just from the idea of, like, when actually you get that opportunity and you get to really take advantage of it, make yourself available. Because they'll continue to call back if they think that you did a good job. But if you say, no, I'm too busy for that, they're going to move on.
Yeah. And it's one part being available. And then the other part that I really want to underscore is it's knowing your stuff, right? I mean, what is the luck equals opportunity meeting preparation.
Yep.
So, you know, you've been publishing the story report for monthly for 2 years now. You're obviously keeping up to date with what's going on in the market, and then you're available to be able to react when the call comes in. Can you maybe walk me through what are the essential ingredients as far as when monthly stats come out? Like, what are the most important things that you make sure that you know, so when the phone does ring, you have an informed opinion?
Yeah, I think so. In our market, they come out at the beginning of the month. I'm sure that's very similar, you know, in Vancouver. I think it was actually Stephanie Arnold when I did Keith's podcast that said I was scrawny and stats driven. And I like that. And so when these numbers come out, I'm really, really looking at it, because, you know, not only is there a ton of competition in our markets, and you better know what you're talking about when you go sit down at the table with somebody. But when those stats come out, I want to know year over year sales. That's the big one, because in our market right now, for the first 6 months of the year, the numbers have not been pretty. And the message that I'm trying to convey is, yes, they have not been pretty based on the first 4 months of last year, which if you look at it on a 10-year chart, we're very much an outlier. So it's really knowing that. I would look at the four different asset classes. I would want to know what's happening with condos. Are they moving at a pace that is faster than townhomes? And what's happening with semi-detached and detached properties? Those are the ones that I spend most of my time on. Mm-hmm. And because I talk about Canada once in a while, but I also very much focus on Toronto, is I really get into the, not just on paper what's happening, but like I do this every single day for the last 5 years. So I talk about, you know, what's actually happening on a ground level basis, because I could sit there on TV and just run off stats, but you have to recognize who you're talking to. And there's different personality types, and not everyone's going to connect with, okay, yeah, I don't actually understand what that means. So they want real life examples of what's happening. So before I go on, I spend a lot of time making sure that I've reviewed the numbers, because if I'm going to put myself in that position to go on live TV and talk, you know, you better know what you're talking about and come prepared. And just because it's a smaller media outlet or a big one, it should not change your preparation level to go out there and do your absolute best.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that as an industry, we don't talk enough about is it's important to know your stuff when it comes to the market stats. I mean, when realtors get licensed, they spend so much time learning the forms and learning how agency works, which is very important. Then they learn about lead generation and business planning, which is great. But, you know, actually knowing the economics and how they work is a vital ingredient to being a successful realtor. You know, you talk about being reactive. So when the phone calls, you got to answer it. And you got to be available. You got to have, you know, those contingency plans in place to duck out and be able to go and run and do a media spot. I'm curious on the proactive side. Mm-hmm. Is there, if you wanted to say, write it in your business plan, I'm going to get as much media opportunities and here are the things I'm going to proactively do to try to get those opportunities. What would those proactive steps be?
Sure. So if you haven't already started some type of show or series or podcast, that would be number one, because it lets people know that you're out there and you know what you're talking about. The second thing that I have done before is that, you know, writers they're looking for content. They're looking for people with stories. You go on to any major media outlet and with an online post, you can see who published it and their email is right there. Send them an email. Let them know that you'd like to be available if they want to comment on a certain whatever it is that comes up. You know, go out there and put yourself out there, because if you don't do that, they don't know that you exist. And it's not that they don't trust that you'll do a great job or know that you're talking about, but getting in front of them is such a massive part of this that. But truthfully, I think it all comes down to you need to have some type of weekly, monthly. Something that you are doing that is providing valuable information to your database, the community, and everyone that's watching.
It sounds like you need to try to position yourself as an authority before you even are one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just getting yourself out there. Like, so many people are scared of the new mediums that we have to get out there. But, like, you know, we're posting on Instagram every day. We're on Facebook every day. We're uploading new blogs, our website all the time. We do the monthly videos. It's not just one thing. You got to do all these things. And when one of them sticks or one person sees one of them that reaches out, that's when you then have your opportunity and you have to take advantage of it and not let it slip away.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, I want to take a bit of a transition now so we're talking very sort of tactical, you know, procedural things. Let's talk a little bit about mindset and specifically nerves. I mean, first off, do you ever feel nervous?
Well, I know your grandma's probably watching. So right now my heart is beating. Yeah. This is probably the most nervous I've ever been in a media situation.
Yeah, she is not afraid of criticizing the show, by the way. So
I can't wait to see the notes.
Stuff, I'll hear about it at Sunday dinner.
Yeah, I get nervous. And the first time that I ever got to do live TV, which was actually January 1st, 2018. So it was New Year's Day. Luckily, I wasn't out too late the night before. I was sitting there and my heart was beating. But then as soon as I just started talking with the host and I told myself, like, you know what you're talking about. People don't want to see you screw up on live TV. They're there. They want to get information from you. And if you stay in your lane, like, people always ask me, how do you not get nervous? How do you not mess up on live TV? And I say to them, well, you know, what do you do for a living? Well, if you went on TV and you just talked about something that you're really passionate about, would that not be easy for you? And I think, you know, the main thing for me has been when they ask a question, answer the question and then move on. Don't try and prove to them that you know absolutely everything and run on for 3 to 4 minutes, because you're just going to start mumbling and not really, you're going to lose your place of what your thought was. And so I think with the questions, that's something that we have to that I really focus on. Just answer it and move on.
Yeah, I love that idea of staying in your lane. You know, you can speak to the things that you are an expert in. Having said that, sometimes nerves do just get in the way. I mean, we are trying to stay in our lane, but the car won't turn on. Have you ever had any experiences like that where you have just been stumped or you've lost your train of thought? And if so, what have you been able to do to get back on track?
Yeah, I did an interview two Sundays ago. It was on CTV National. And they asked me basically, you know, what what would you look at, and what do you think is going to happen with sales on in the Canadian economy? Because we've been down year over year, basically because of the stress test. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I think what's going to happen is it's going to pick up into the fall. And normally when I do these media interviews, they kind of take the answer and then they move on, right? Where she challenged me probably three times in the interview. And I actually liked it because she gave me the opportunity to explain what I was trying to say. Because what we need to remember is when we're having conversations with our colleagues about real estate, there's certain terms we use, there's certain phrases, the way that we talk about things. We think that everyone's just going to understand what we're talking about. Think about the people that are watching at home that have no idea about the inner workings of what's happening, what you really need to know. So to be given the opportunity. So that did happen to me, where she actually caught me off guard twice in that interview, but I knew what I was talking about. So I could just, you know, regroup and say, you know, the reason why I said that is because this is what we're seeing. And then you kind of get really into it. So it's definitely happened to me. And I think it's good, because you don't want to become complacent when you start doing this over and over again to think like, oh, everyone's just going to be amazing. You're going to have hurdles. And even if you slip up a little bit, probably you're the only person that notices anyways.
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice. Now, you talked about staying in your lane and not rambling on. So you run the risk of losing your train of thought if that's the case.
Yeah.
If you were to break down sort of the key elements of a great interview, what would those elements be?
As funny as this may sound, like, show up looking good. You're on national TV. Make sure if you're a guy, you shave that day and you're wearing a suit, like, show up and be the professional that they want to interview and they want to get that knowledge from. You know, I think that's one. And what I had briefly touched on before is answer the question. Like, don't try and run around it. When they ask you a question, just answer it, and don't be afraid of saying, oh, you know what, that's not something that I usually talk about. Like, that's okay. That's something that's going to happen. So I think for a great interview, visualize the outcome. That's something that I always do, because when I start these interviews, they never actually tell me the questions they're going to ask me. It's like, this is the topic. You go live in a minute. Are you ready? And that's pretty much the preparation I have. And obviously I know the topic because this is something that I do on a daily basis. But if you answer the question, you don't get nervous when you start talking, because you understand that you know what you're talking about. So I think to have a great interview, it's just going in there and as trivial as it sounds, like, be yourself. Like don't try to pretend that you're somebody else. Even my monthly videos, if you go back to the beginning one to now, like, we've loosened up a lot. You know, you're not trying, you can't be someone else and be successful. You got to just be yourself, go on there, not get nervous, and give them the information that they're looking for.
Thank you for that. Great suggestions there. Now, if let's just say we were to pick your business up, pick you up, you know, your girlfriend, your new dog, which is adorable, by the way. What's your dog's name?
Rasta.
Rasta.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we were to drop you maybe even outside of Canada, let's say somewhere in the States, you know, Washington. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to restart your business and you wanted to become a thought leader in that market. What would be your, you know, 1, 2, 3 steps in terms of starting to establish that authority in a new market?
Well, what I would do is this as if I'm a new realtor, or as if I'm just moving my business?
You know, I guess the reason I ask it in that way is because I just want to be able to get, for someone who's watching right now, who's maybe been in the business for 10 years or 10 minutes, I just want to be able to give them a clear 1, 2, 3 and started to get to where you are now in terms of having the, you know, relationships with reporters and whatnot.
So the first thing would be, and this doesn't actually fully tie into that yet, but if I were a new agent or a seasoned agent that hadn't gotten the type of credibility that I was looking for, the first thing I would do is I'd start reaching out to the big companies and I would say, hey, you know, I'd love to put on a lunch and learn in your office and talk about what's happening in the market and educate and maybe have a mortgage broker with me or a lawyer. And what I would do is I would have somebody film that. And then I would start putting those out online and I would start a new video series. That's how, if I was like brand new, I knew nobody in that area, that's how I would start. Mm-hmm. And what I had talked about a little bit before was recognize who the big players are, what type of people they're interviewing to get the information that you would like to give, and directly contact them. Like, you can direct them on Instagram. Like, you can send them a message. You can go into the Facebook. You can comment on things. There's a million different ways for you to get in front of people. And I think, you know, right now more than ever before, the reason why I have traditional media opportunities is because I took such a big advantage of the social media apps and things that are out there right now. Mm-hmm. That just, you have to put yourself out there. That would be the biggest thing to, if I'm brand new or I want some credibility, start showing people. You know, you can't just hope that they find out. Start showing them.
Yeah, it seems to me like you really have to, you have to start acting like you're already getting media opportunities,
mm-hmm.
in order to get them. It's hard to come from a cold stop where someone from CTV calls you and you've never done it before. You've never talked about market stats publicly. You've never had a public comment on anything to do with the industry, and all of a sudden now you're live on CTV.
Set yourself up for success, right?
Yeah.
Like dress for the job you want, not what you have. It's the same mindset of like, you know, it, when this opportunity comes, and I'm telling you, if you stick with something, it will happen. And when it comes, you better be ready, right? You got to know your stuff. You got to be available. You got to make sure that when you're talking to that many people, you are saying it in a way that you know, your average Joe at home is going to understand. If I start spitting off, you know, months of inventory and this, like, I break down and explain what it is before I get into mm-hmm. terms that, you know, your average consumer just maybe might not even care about, mm-hmm. So that they fully understand. That's how I would look at it.
Fantastic. Well, I think you've given us lots to work with here. We got a couple questions here from our audience, which is fantastic. So we've got Alexander here. Alex from our Nanaimo office really wants to see your video. I'm assuming your original video. So when I rebroadcast this, Alex, we'll make sure that we throw that in the comment feed here. And Amar wants to know if we're going to be at Masters Academy in Vancouver next week. And I think the answer is yes. Is
100%.
Right?
Yeah, I will be there.
That's awesome. And actually, I forgot to ask you one last question here. Yeah. So when you're at Masters Academy next week, can I get your autograph?
Yes, but I only sign in Sharpie. So, okay. I'll do it, but it's going to be Sharpie.
Oh man, if you bring your own Sharpie with you,
I'll pull it out of here and I'm ready.
No, that's awesome. Well, Tom, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your insights with our audience here. If anyone had any follow-up questions or wanted to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Instagram is probably the best way. We are the Story Team on Instagram. Or if you want to check out any of the videos that I've been talking about in this interview, if you go to YouTube and just type in Tom Story, everything's right there.
You know, before you know it, when people just Google Tom, you're going to be up there. You'll be fighting with the shoe company, with Tom Hanks. It's just a matter of time.
That's what I'll know I've actually made it. When it's like Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, Tom Story.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's what
I'm going to. Well, have a great long weekend, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Vancouver next week.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, pleasure, buddy. Bye for now.
Bye.
All right, there you have it. Tom Story from Toronto talking about how he's been able to position himself as a real estate thought leader in the media. What a great guy. I highly recommend that you start following him on Instagram. Check out his YouTube videos. He's got a lot of great content. I mean, if there's one thing that I've really come to appreciate about Tom, it's just his willingness to execute and be persistent. It's not always perfect. It's not always polished, but he's consistent. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's garnered such unbelievable mind share in his market. So next week, we are going to be taking a small break because I'll be at the Masters Academy event, getting filled up and inspired and lots of great info. But I do have a number of interviews set up for the rest of July. We're going to be really cracking into some of the new changes that rolled out on June 15th. So I've got a number of managing brokers coming into the show to comment on what are we noticing, what's happening, what best practices are rising to the top. So hopefully we'll look forward to having some great conversations, and I'll look forward to seeing you guys then. All right. Have a great long weekend. Bye for now.